This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07, and first up, ministers who are returning from official duties overseas will only have to undergo a 3-day observation or surveillance, not the 10-day mandatory quarantine. So we really want to find out exactly what this means and how it's going to work, because we're about to mention things like bubble itineraries. We'll get into it. I will just say that having read everything and having seen the statements from the minister, I am not much clearer than I was from just that sentence alone.
So the Health Minister, Dr. Adhan Baba, signed a federal government gazette that is allowing this exemption, and it'll last until the 1st of August. Now, this only applies to cabinet ministers, as far as we can tell, and their delegation will still have to observe a 10-day quarantine. But the Health Minister did say that the 3-day quarantine will also only apply if the ministers follow a strict bubble itinerary. And he said that they will be re-evaluating the situation. And if the ministers don't follow this bubble itinerary, then they'll have to do a 10-day quarantine instead. You know, clarity is not really the strong point here.
It hasn't exactly been received with great joy. On Twitter, there is a hashtag that is calling for the resignation of the minister. That's been trending. And the former health minister, actually, Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, has asked for the science behind it, saying that it's unprecedented, it's counterintuitive, and that sure, if you want to look at exemptions, perhaps that could have been made if the ministers were vaccinated, but that's not what this is about. Instead, we seem to be relying on, I'm just going to say the phrase one more time, this bubble itinerary.
I think, you know, some of this has to do with the fact that there's already been a lot of disgruntlement, I think, about double standards when it comes to politicians, ministers versus rakyat. And so a lot of this, I think, is just hitting at that sore spot. The Malaysian Health Coalition, for instance, put out a statement saying the justification provided by the health minister doesn't sufficiently explain the rationale, science, evidence, or facts behind this decision. And I just wanted to talk about a little bit about just the various trips that different ministers have been going on. So Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was on a 1-day trip to Indonesia on the 4th of February. We're not really sure whether he did a 3 or a 10-day quarantine. Yesterday, Datuk Sri Hishamuddin Hussein, who's the foreign minister, went on a working visit to Abu Dhabi. And last year, of course, Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister Khairuddin Aman Razali came under a fair amount of fire when it was revealed that he didn't go through the mandatory home quarantine as it was required back then. Also wasn't subsequently charged in court. So I think a lot of the unhappiness comes from the fear that we're going to be looking at more examples like this.
Yeah, I also do wonder what this means for the trips, right? Because if you have a contingent of sorts who are going with you, if you have people who are part of your delegation, at what point is the minister going solo into spaces, or, you know, what sets the minister's itinerary apart from their delegation, who presumably would be with them? And why is it therefore that one person would be able to have that 3-day quarantine or that 3-day observation, in fact, as opposed to the 10 days that we all and that their delegation would apparently be subject to? So even on the basis of looking at the same group of people who would presumably all be going abroad to the same places, to the same meetings, it just doesn't make sense. And I think it's also worth just going back to what we know. So according to the WHO, the incubation period for COVID-19 is 5 to 6 days on average. It can extend to 14 days, which is why we've been talking about this 2-week period for most of last year. However, in December, the Ministry of Health shortened that quarantine period for overseas returnees and close contact to 10 days. And this is following on a review of international clinical data. And that doesn't change, again, why that disparity between 10 days and 3 days, you know, it's a tremendous amount. So, Yeah, just a lot of different questions here. We're going to try to get some clarity after this by speaking with Dr. Rosmawati Mohammed, Master of the Academy of Medicine Malaysia. We want to know, though, what are your thoughts on this? And if you have any questions or comments, how do you feel about ministers returning from performing official duties overseas, going through a 3-day observation as opposed to 10 days? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the news that was announced about cabinet ministers returning from official duties overseas, only undergoing a 3-day observation or surveillance as opposed to the 10-day mandatory quarantine. This has come into effect because the health minister, Dr. Adam Baba, signed a federal government gazette that will allow this exemption lasting until August 1st. And we want to know essentially what you think. We're about to try to understand the science and the rationale behind it. But in the meantime, if you have an opinion on how this is going to work, you can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line is Dr. Rosmawati Mohammed, Master of the Academy of Medicine Malaysia. Dr. Rosmawati, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with the most important question, I think. What do you make of this 3-day quarantine?
It did come as a real surprise. And I think we need to actually really think about the science behind this. So perhaps what we would want to actually mention and highlight is that according to CDC, when we looked at the risk of transmission, when they looked at the 3 days quarantine, the risk can be as high as 40%. Even if there are no symptoms reported, and the test that the individual did was negative. And this is because we know that the incubation period, which is the time between exposure to the COVID-19 virus and when symptoms began to appear, is on average between 5 to 6 days, and being highest in the first week after exposure, but it can be as long as 14 days. So with monitoring and testing in place, the recent recommendation that the quarantine period for inbound travelers can be reduced to 10 days was based on newer data, which shows that the risk of transmission is extremely low, only about 1% after 10 days. So the CDC also gave another option to reduce the quarantine to 7 days using symptom monitoring and diagnostic testing. So when this actually was done, when the test is negative and there are no symptoms whatsoever up to day 7, then you may have the option of reducing the quarantine period at day 7. And that's when you actually also test at least 2 days before the day 7, that means at day 5, so that you give time for the test results to be available. And with this strategy, the residual risk of transmission is down to about 5%. So better than what is known nowadays at 3 days, where the risk can be as high as 40%.
So the health minister, Dr. Adham Baba, said that the cabinet members are only able to do this 3 days quarantine because they will be following what they call a bubble itinerary. What's your understanding of a bubble itinerary, and how does it work to reduce risks of infection?
Currently, there are insufficient details on what this bubble itinerary is all about. I mean, we need to know a bit more on the enforcement details and scientific reasoning behind this, and which are still currently unclear. So unless we know what these are, I think it should be, we have to stick to the minimum 7 days or the current 10-day quarantine to reduce risk much more significantly.
So this move has attracted really quite a bit of criticism. What do you make of the fact that it's been received this way? Why do you think the public has reacted so negatively?
Now, certainly, this exemption order is perceived as enforcing double standards, which is a real blow to the ordinary Malaysians. who are making really great personal and economic sacrifices under this MCO 2.0. So clearly there is already a trust deficit, and this will be diminishing the public trust, which is really dangerous for our health system, because we need to have the public's faith and support to fight this pandemic all together. So it has to be all of government and all of society's approach we have been saying from the beginning of this pandemic.
So to go back to what you said earlier, that the earliest time to take a test to find out if you can end your quarantine would be day 5. Are tests, however, sensitive enough to detect an infection before the symptoms are present?
Okay, so we have known all along that we should be testing even if the if the patient is asymptomatic. And that's what contact tracing is all about. And what we actually want is really to ramp up testing so that we actually do trace even those who are asymptomatic. So there is no doubt that the tests are good enough to trace even if you don't have symptoms. And because even if you don't have symptoms, you still can in fact spread the infection. So again, we have to be very clear that, you know, what we are talking about in the testing when it comes to the quarantine period is just an additional effort to make sure that when you don't have symptoms, we want to make sure that you do not have the virus or the infection so that you don't spread the infection even though you're asymptomatic.
So since the government is going to be proceeding with this, what best practices should be followed to ensure that it's going to work?
So I think the government really must explain the science and the rationale behind the decision of this 3-day quarantine, because it's not very well received at the moment. And really, it is important for Malaysians to really observe transparency. And it's important for Malaysia to understand how the SOPs protect us, so we can better abide by them. So unless there's transparency and the SOPs are quite clear and consistent, and then it can be followed quite well and people can abide by them. So introducing double standards will only sow distrust amongst the Malaysians.
And Dr. Rosmawati, you know, speaking of those SOPs, you know, the SOPs for the MCO has just been loosened even further. Dine-ins are now allowed for 2 people per table and all retail sectors have been opened up. What do you make of these revisions and the fact that these SOPs have been really quite malleable when it comes to the second MCO?
Right. So we have known all along that the restrictions was there because when we talked about comparing situations, indoor versus outdoor, the risk of being indoors in confined places are definitely higher. But if the space allows for this, the following strict SOPs in the particular dining area, I think it should be, it can be done, provided that the space is enough. And you cannot just say it's 2 per table. It really depends on the distancing. So we do need to actually allow some of these leeways, provided that, again, we follow strict procedures and everyone is very clear what is meant by a 2 per table, for example, and how this is done has to be very clear across the board. But the other big thing that I hope will be allowed is the outdoor activities. A lot more should be stressed on this, because outdoor activities without contact are important for the well-being of the patient and actually even for health reasons. We have got a really big NCD problem in Malaysia, and we do need to really have people to actually follow healthy lifestyles, and that is something that we should also be stressing, not just about the dining and the indoor activities, but allow the outdoor activities without contact as well, such as tennis and hiking in open area.
Dr. Rosmawati, thank you so much for weighing in. That was Dr. Rosmawati Mohammed, Master of the Academy of Medicine Malaysia, speaking to us about the Ministry of Health's decision to reduce the quarantine period to 3 days exclusively for travelling cabinet members. So we want to know, what do you make of this? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Over on WhatsApp, we have some messages.
So Zaidi says, I believe the special 3-day quarantine for ministers are specially designed for them because, contrary to popular belief, the ministers do work hard behind the scenes. If they're healthy and they test negative, ministers should be allowed to roam about and serve the rakyat. Just because they don't come out in the media that often doesn't mean that they're not working for the rakyat.
So I think that if that were the case, then the ministry should perhaps explain that because I don't think that, for me, this is a question of whether or not the ministers are working hard, or even for that matter, whether they're healthy or even whether they test negative. I think it perhaps has more to do with, firstly, this issue of double standards that we've been talking about the whole time. But I think also with acknowledging that they are human. And that, like the rest of us, who are also possibly doing our best to handle the SOPs, do everything correctly, do everything perfectly, it doesn't change the fact that we have seen, for example, sporadic infections. We've seen people who have no idea, who cannot tell you where it was that they got infected. So just in general, I don't necessarily see this aligned with best medical practices, regardless of what their workload may be.
And even when you take into account the delegation and the disparity between their quarantine and the ministers, right? Mm. So we have Anthony, who has an opposing point of view. He says, why do the ministers only need a 3-day quarantine period? Are they special that COVID-19 is fearful of them because they're ministers? The viruses don't know any boundaries or a position that a person holds in government. They are just as vulnerable as anyone else. The travel is travel, regardless of whether they're a minister or an ordinary person. Why the double standards? If they use the bubble for the ministers, then that bubble should also be granted to other citizens.
So just to be clear about that point about the bubble, Anthony, I think the bubble in this case is what impacts the itinerary of the minister's delegation. So in essence, what it means is that they have a very, very tightly controlled itinerary in which they do not exit that at any point. They only go to the meetings that are within that itinerary. At no point do they kind of do the other things that you would normally do when you travel to another country. I'm not defending it. Just saying that it makes it very difficult, I think, to grant it to other citizens, because what would that bubble look like for each industry, for each person who has to travel abroad for different meetings? I think that sort of thing might be very difficult to arrange.
So we have Kim, who says, as for the minister's 3-day quarantine, it's outrageous. There are many of us who haven't seen our partners because we're unable to travel. What makes the ministers different from any other human? And what if they are asymptomatic and people get infected because of them? We already have seen examples of how ministers get special treatment. How can we trust that there will not be a double standard this time?
That pretty much sums it up, yeah. Kim, I think. And it is true that, to be fair, they're not talking about travel for fun, right? They did emphasize very clearly that it's for official duties. But I think it doesn't change that sense of fundamental injustice that people feel, you know, in terms of being able to cross borders, but more importantly, being able to do so while returning and only, you know, being under a 3-day observation period with as yet no explanation for it. So let us know what you think and keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.